If you have a Bible with you, and I hope you do, join me in turning to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, tonight we're going to be dealing primarily with one verse, verse 32. We are making our way slowly, hopefully surely, through a glimpse at the what we call the fruit of the Spirit, listed in Galatians 5. 22 and 23, tonight we come to the fifth of those character qualities listed there as the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Five, kindness. Kindness. Kindness is one of those qualities that it's really almost easier to see, to recognize, than it is to define. One definition, though, one attempt, is an attitude or disposition leading to acts of benevolence, graciousness, and helpfulness. In fact, these are three synonyms for kindness, benevolence, graciousness, and helpfulness. These acts are most striking when they are performed for the infirm, the incompetent, and the undeserving. The antonyms would be cruelty, harshness, meanness. So the passage, as I indicated, that I've chosen for us to focus on tonight is Ephesians 4:32. I want to read that and then look at four aspects or things that we find here about this quality of kindness. It doesn't actually use the word kindness, but it does use the word kind. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we thank you. We exult in your kindness to us in Christ. We thank you, Father, that you are not only kind to the deserving, but to the undeserving. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to share in the likeness, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Father, as you have given us a new standing with you through faith in Christ, Lord, you have also given us and are giving us new hearts, new dispositions, new character. By your Holy Spirit, Lord, you are producing in us Christ-like character. And we pray that we would work, that we would cooperate with your Spirit, Lord, that we would use the means that you have provided for us to grow in our likeness to Christ, in our knowledge of him, and in our obedience to him. So Lord, we commit to you tonight the understanding and the obedience to this call, this command to be kind, to display, to grow in kindness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that we see in this verse, this one verse, is the command for kindness. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, and by extension to us, to all believers, this is in a list of things that he says we should not do and we should do. And here in verse 32, be kind to one another. It's not a suggestion. I don't often refer to the Greek, but I'm going to. In the Greek, this is a command. It's in the imperative mood, which means it's not a statement of fact. And it's not wishful, which would be a different mood, but it is a command. Be kind to one another. Literally, it is become to one another kind. In other words, if you're not already, then become kind to one another. In fact, all of the fruit of the Spirit are qualities that are commanded of us in one place or another in Scripture. And often in many places. For example, Colossians chapter 3. Again, we find this same thing in a list of things. Put on then, 3:12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Again, we see a similar theme. We are called or commanded to kindness, to be kind. And in Luke chapter 6, we find that we are called to emulate the example of our Lord. Luke 6, 35 and 36. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Now there, let me just comment. The word sons in Scripture isn't ruling out women. It is a term for likeness. The sons were the ones who were like their fathers. That's what it refers to. So anyway, you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So we are called, we are commanded. Too often, we are rather selective in our approach to Christian character. We treat it kind of like a buffet, cafeteria line, if you will. Give me a heaping helping of love, joy, peace, maybe a little bit of faithfulness, as long as it isn't too inconvenient, but hold the patience, kindness, and especially that self-control bit, you know? I don't need any of that. That's not the way it works. We're never that crass, obviously, towards these matters. But the effect is the same. There are some character qualities that we highly esteem and value and want lots of, but others, well, it's just a little more difficult. It's a little more challenging. And so maybe we don't spend as much time on those. Do you value kindness? Are you pursuing it? Are you pursuing it in your relationship with others? Do you understand that it is part of the holiness, the Christ-likeness, without which, according to Hebrews 12:14, no one will see the Lord? So if we're not pursuing kindness along with these other qualities, the Scripture says, without this, which is part of holiness, we will not see the Lord. Kindness is something we are commanded. It is a command. The second thing that we see in Ephesians 4:32 is the character of kindness. What is kindness at its essence, if you will? Paul says, tender-hearted. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Kindness is produced in a tender heart, a heart that is tender toward others. The opposite of a tender heart is, of course, a hard heart. A hard heart is self-centered and selfish, whereas a tender heart is focused on others in a benevolent and charitable way. Know the verse, 1 Peter 4, that says, love covers a multitude of sins. That's what we're talking about. A tender heart. A heart that is not quick to judge. A heart that is not quick to find fault. But a heart that is tender toward others, even the faults of others. Perhaps an illustration would help. Pastor Scott Sauls tells a story about an unnamed nursery worker who bumped into a first-time visitor named Janet, who had dropped her two boys off in the nursery. Sauls writes this: after the service, while Janet was waiting in the nursery line to retrieve her boys, one of the nursery workers quietly approached her and said that there had been some issues. Both of her boys had picked fights with other children. Also, one of her boys had broken several of the toys that belonged to the church. In front of a room filled with other children and their parents, Janet scolded her boys and then screamed in a bellowing voice, a word I can't say. Deeply ashamed and feeling like a failure, Janet got her boys and skulked out of the building. No doubt, we were never going to see her again. But that unnamed nursery worker volunteer called the church office that Monday and asked if I could check the visitor notebook to see if Janet had left her contact information. She had. I gave the nursery worker Janet's address, and unbeknownst to me, she sent Janet a note. The note read something like this. Dear Janet, I'm so glad that you and your boys visited our church. Oh, and about that little exchange when you picked them up from the nursery, let's just say that I found it so refreshing that you would feel freedom to speak with an honest vocabulary like that in church. I'm really drawn to honesty, and you are clearly an honest person. I hope we can become friends. Love, unnamed nursery worker. The nursery worker and Janet did, in fact, become friends. Janet came back the next Sunday, and the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that. And eventually, Janet became the nursery director for our church. Later on, I would discover that when Janet started coming to our church, she was a recovering heroin addict. How would I have responded towards Janet's outburst? Would I have been kind? Tender-hearted? That's the character of kindness. Tender-heartedness. Well, the third thing that we see in this verse is the cost of Christ-like kindness. Notice there I've expanded a little bit. The cost of Christ-like kindness. Paul writes, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. The fruit of the Spirit, indeed, all Christian character comes back to the gospel, to the cross. We love because he first loved us. We have joy as we look to Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Peace is ours because, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We bear with others patiently. We have patience because God has been and continues to be so exceedingly patient with us. And we are to extend kindness to others who, just like us, least deserve it. The cost of Christ-like kindness is forgiving others as we have been forgiven by God in Christ. I have a bit of a confession to make. The more I studied this fruit of the Spirit, what we see about this word, kind and kindness, and how it's used in Scripture, the less I liked it. Let me explain. I misunderstood initially, as I think many people do, what kindness is. In my mind, kindness was equated with niceness. And I thought, well, I'm a nice guy. Don't you think I'm a nice guy? Maybe some of you shouldn't answer that. Even though I know better, I thought this was directed more toward people who are not nice. They're the ones who are unkind. You know who I'm talking about. People who look for fault like there's a reward for it, right? People who can always find something bad to say about someone else. People who can light up a room by leaving it. You know the kind of people I'm talking about. And that's what I thought this verse was, those are the kind of people I thought this verse was directed towards. But the more I saw how kindness is addressed in Scripture, the more I understood that those aren't the ones, at least not primarily, who are commanded to be kind. They're not the ones that this command is for. No, those people need a new birth. They're commanded to repent and trust Christ. They are to be the objects of kindness by those of us who have been born again and who should display the fruit of the Spirit. Christ-like kindness requires a tender heart, a forgiving spirit toward those who we think least deserve it. Those who rub us the wrong way the most. Notice again what Luke writes in Luke 6. Love your enemies and do good. And lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Sounds a lot like what Jesus said in another place, the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The command for Christ-like kindness requires a tender heart that has been changed by the Spirit of God and is willing to forgive and be kind, not only to those that I like and who like me, but also toward those who hate me, those who despise me, even those who persecute me. You know, that's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Because it's not the product of Steve Kavanaugh's heart. Right? It's not something I can work up. It's not something I just naturally come out with because it's in my nature. This is beyond my natural ability to produce. It requires grace. A great experience of God's grace. And a great willingness to extend that grace to others. Being nice to the nice doesn't require the Holy Spirit. And it isn't the fruit of the Spirit. Being kind to the undeserving. Now that's another matter. In a little bit, we are going to sing, and then we're going to celebrate in the Lord's Supper what Paul wrote in Titus 3. When he wrote, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God in his kindness has appeared to us in Christ. And that's what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. So before we sing and celebrate the supper, we're going to pray. It's going to be a little different tonight. I'm going to ask you to pray about and for where you need to display kindness to those for whom it's difficult. And I'm going to ask you first to start with your own family. All of you have family members, maybe immediate or extended family members, for whom it's difficult, or with whom it's difficult to display this. And Corrine Hates in just a moment is going to lead us in that prayer for showing kindness to our families. And then I want you to pray for being able to show kindness to where you spend the most amount of time outside of your family. Maybe it's in the job, all right? Maybe it's the workplace, those of you who are still in the workplace. Most of you are not like me, all right? You don't work with all Christians, okay? And sometimes those non-Christians can be unkind. And it's challenging to be kind in return. So in the workplace or in your neighborhood, in your community, those folks, those neighbors, you know, who just, maybe you have a neighbor who's not kind, who's rude, you know, who maybe doesn't take care of his yard or something. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have added that. But it's difficult to love that neighbor, to be kind to him. I want you to pray for your ability to show kindness where it's most difficult there. And Jeff Hayes, I'm going to ask him to lead us in that prayer. And then I'm going to pray that we would display kindness toward one another in the church. Because even though most of us are believers in Christ, there are some who are not. And we can still sometimes do things that believers shouldn't do. And we need to forgive one another as well. So Corrine, would you come up? And then Jeff, would you come down and be ready to pray after Corrine does?
Let's pray. Father, pastors challenged us through your word to be kind to family members who often rub us the wrong way. They don't necessarily understand where we're coming from as believers, and sometimes they're argumentative, sometimes they say hurtful things, but Father, it's not their job to be kind to us, it's our job to be kind to them. So we would pray that you would teach us to have gracious, tender hearts toward our loved ones, people we care about, but who just don't understand the truth, and sometimes it really can come across strong. Lord, we're in a season of reunions and family time and things like that. And so we would pray that every time we see these unsaved loved ones, people we care about, that we'd be careful of our tongues, that we would pursue kindness as we've been commanded to do, that we would have a forgiving spirit, that we would be gracious, that we would be helpful in everything we do, Father, so that our testimony can above all things glorify you. And so that perhaps through our kindness and our tenderness, our loved ones might be reached for Christ.
Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, just thank you that you are gracious and compassionate. You are abounding in loving kindness. And we just are grateful, Lord, that you first loved us. That's why we love you. And you have shown kindness to us, and you've given us your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we can show kindness to others. Lord, I just confess when I'm not kind to the folks I work with, and some frustrate me at different levels and I don't respond like I should. And I confess that sin, Lord, and I'm sure we all have moments when we're not kind to someone in our neighborhood or in our job or even at the store or at the gas station. We might let our tempers get the best of us. Lord, we confess that, and we just thank you for the promise of your word, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins, because that's your character, Lord. We just thank you that you are faithful and that you are just. Lord, we just cry out to you that you would use us, fill us again with your spirit, that we would not quench your spirit, we would not grieve the spirit, but we would be filled with the spirit and exhibit the love of Christ and the kindness of Christ to those with whom we work and those with whom we interact in our neighborhoods. Use us for your glory, Lord, that we would magnify your name and honor you with what we say and what we do before our neighbors and those with whom we work. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise and the glory. Amen.
Saved us, that you have put us into your church, the body of Christ. We thank you, Father, that you have done this for your glory and for our good. Lord, we need one another. We need the examples that we can be to one another of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Lord, we need the encouragement from one another and the prayers of one another. Father, we're not called to live before you as believers in isolation, but in community. And Lord, we need that, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the being able to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. But Father, sometimes in living together as a church family, as the body of Christ, we disagree. Sometimes decisions are made. Sometimes things are done or not done, Lord, that displease us with one another. Lord, would you help us to be kind in those situations. Lord, it isn't difficult to be kind, to be nice when we agree, when there are no problems. Lord, it's when we disagree strongly. It's when we are disappointed. It's when we are hurt, Father, that we are challenged to show love, to be kind. Lord, would you help us to be forgiving to one another as you have forgiven us? Lord, if you kept a record of wrongs, who could stand? Thank you, Father, that you are kind to us. May we exemplify that. Pour out your grace and your spirit upon us that we may do so. We pray in Jesus' name.